Hello, I'm Janet McDonald, a native of Brooklyn and a resident of Paris. Before writing rap songs for my latest novel, Harlem Hustle, I wrote mergers and acquisition agreements as a corporate lawyer. Harlem Hustle is the story of Eric Sampson, a teenaged petty thief and high school dropout who dreams of turning his life around by becoming a rapper. Along the way, and before he ultimately finds his way back to school, he discovers that the glittering world of bling bling is far from gold, and writes this rap about his life and the girl he hopes will become his girlfriend. So Hustle, I hear you're a rapper?
Uh-huh, began Hustle. I'm about to drop a little something on him.
He took a gulp of grape soda. Mrs. Simpson had strong views about rap music, which Jeanette had made her promise not to share.
So what are your raps about?
Mrs. Simpson inquired, a faint rebuke in her about. Is there some kind of message, or is it the same old... She felt Jeanette nudge her.
Songs. I wrote one about this girl I like.
Jeanette groaned. She hoped it wasn't an embarrassing love song.
I'd love to hear it, said Mrs. Simpson dryly.
He faced one of those risky moments in life where vanity and caution collide. The need to front and the wish to chill lock and struggle like a pair of champion wrestlers. His loud ego pressed him to show off, pop some collar. A small voice told him to just be cool. A small voice he ignored. He remembered Mata's changes and felt a twinge of discomfort. He ignored that too. He made some beatbox sounds into his hand and said, after that part, I spit my rhymes.
Not on me, I hope.
Jeanette nervously suggested they get going if they were going to make the movie.
No, wait, you have time, said Mrs. Simpson. I want to hear this.
Bobbing his head, Hustle let loose.
She a backseat shorty, know how to be naughty.
A sensation of heat spread from Mrs. Simpson's body to her face, accompanied by faint dizziness.
Bust her out, she cried, Lordy. Bust her out, she want Morty.
A sudden contraction of the muscles connected to her hair follicles caused the hairs on the back of her neck to stand up.
For some booze and some stem, she let you slide right in.
She swung her fierce gaze from Jeanette, who wouldn't meet it, to Hustle.
That's enough. More than enough.
In fact, that was far too much. Hustle neither saw the darkening sky nor felt the first droplets of the approaching storm.
Hold up, Nana. You can't really feel the flow without the fat beats and special noises. Then we drop a sample of Super Freak?
Mrs. Simpson was livid. She jumped to her feet and spoke in the chastising tone of an outraged teacher to an insulting student.
Super Freak?
Listen to me, young man. First of all, my name is Mrs. Simpson. Secondly, Jeanette is no backseat shorty that you or anybody else is going to be sliding in. And when she does find a young man to settle down with, I expect her to bring in-laws to my home, not outlaws. Jeanette searched for words that would smooth things over, but found none. What, after all, could she say? Nana didn't just dislike Hustle, she hated him. And right then, Jeanette felt like she hated him too. A backseat shorty know how to be naughty? What happened to her being nice, not naughty?
Bust her out, she cried, Lordy?
That was just plain stupid. A light bulb went off in his head. Writing appeared on the wall, and at last, Hustle picked up the clue phone. He realized he'd messed up.
Don't take it like that, Nat, Mrs. Simpson. Them lyrics ain't...
She stamped her feet so hard both Hustle and Jeanette winced.
I'm talking. You call that filth lyrics?
Describing black girls like they're pieces of meat is not fat. Calling yourselves pimps, gorillas, and dogs is not dope. Bragging about killing folks is not fresh.
I don't...
Let me finish. This whole rap so-called culture is nothing but a moneyed machine feeding on woman hate and the worst stereotypes about black men. Can't you see that? A handful of black rappers and a hell of a lot of white businessmen are getting rich at the expense of our children, who could be getting an education if the people they look up to told them it meant something.
Instead, they're strung out on some drug they copped from some wannabe rapper needing cash to make a record.
I would never.
Interrupt me again, she threatened. And I'm supposed to see these vultures as heroes? Because they donate a few dollars to a crack baby charity when they sold it to the mother in the first place? You know what I see? Pushers flaunting and wasting their money, living alone in some ridiculous 20-bedroom mansion when people are sleeping on the streets, parading around with the seat of their pants sagging low as a baby's shit-filled diaper.
Nana! Cried Jeanette.
Mrs. Simpson fell silent. Hustle tugged at his do-rag. Jeanette fumbled with her beaded bracelet. A clock ticked. Minutes dragged by like molasses. Then Hustle said simply, "You right." Mrs. Simpson sat down. Jeanette exhaled. "But I ain't made this world, and I ain't here to save it. I'm on my own. I got nothing. No family, no schooling, no skills. Zip. Who's saving me? This probably my one shot, the one chance I might ever get in this messed up life." Jeanette looked glumly at her watch. It was too late for the movie.
"This shorty make me wanna stop. My hoodlum ways ain't reach the top, but moving gear be all I got. Don't wanna have to end up shot. Whoa, my talk, my walk got me marked. One look at me, they call a cop. The ledge I'm on is one long drop. She look my way and light the dark. Whoa, one day I'm gonna be real sharp. And rule like the meanest shark. Cash to spend, cars to park. Then shorty see just how I rock. Whoa, holla!"
Harlem Hustle first appeared in Brotherhood. What made you want to go back and explore his character a little bit more?
Because I felt that he represented an alternative to Nathaniel Whiteley, who's the main character in Brotherhood, who's very academic-oriented and on his way to college. And I wanted to show that college isn't the sole alternative for people in inner cities and that there are other paths that can be taken.
We all just about fell in love with Harlem Hustle. He's a character with some rough edges, but he's got a great heart.
I really like Eric Sampson, who goes by the name Hustle, because he's vulnerable, he's sensitive, and yet he has this whole veneer of like hardcore homeboy. But if you scratch the surface, you find someone who's really trying to achieve something in life, not sure which path to take, and hoping for the best.
He goes through a great learning curve. Did you have that kind of planned out as you were writing the book, or did that naturally develop?
It pretty much developed as I was writing the book. One thing I knew was that I was not going to let him become a rapper. I wanted to have him do something other than that. But I know that so many young people are drawn to rap music as a way to bling bling fortune and fame, that I wanted to just show that there's quite an underbelly and a dark side to the music business, and also show that there are other ways to express yourself through words without having to become a rapper.
And he really learns how to use his words. In the beginning, he's, I think, not even aware so much of the message that he's sending with his raps. For example, the way he raps about women, and he really changes his approach.
Yes, he innocently just mimics what he sees on different TV channels, and in rap music he mimics that same kind of mentality and approach to describing women and girls. And then when he finally is confronted by the mother of his love interest, and she's a high school teacher who's quite appalled by what she hears, he starts rethinking his use of words and his expression and depiction of women, and he evolves as a person and also as a wannabe rapper. And he evolves into something much greater than a rapper because he becomes a sort of slam poet.
One of the things that you're really noted for is mixing highbrow and lowbrow, and certainly in the book you bring in quite a bit the history of Harlem. You bring in a lot of poets. There are a lot of references in your book. Why do you choose to do that?
I choose to do that because I think that so-called highbrow literature, highbrow culture should be and is really accessible to everyone if you just go there, you go to it. You can, there are references to Shakespeare, there are references to Charles Darwin. You think about Charles Darwin positing survival of the fittest, and then there's Snoop Dogg talking about survival of the illest. It's the same idea. And I just wanted to try to inspire people to maybe pick up the classics along the way. And if someone might read my book and wonder, what is Crime and Punishment? Who is Dostoevsky? It's referenced in this book. It would be great if they actually picked up the book and read it. So that's my fantasy.
Well, great. Thank you very much.